Welcome, everyone. Looks like we got some more people getting connected. Still got a couple minutes before the hour, so we'll give folks a few more minutes to convene.
Hi, Ben.
Chris, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Glad to have you joining us, even though your video conferencing unit thinks you're Ted.
We can lie today.
We'll just pretend. So it's a couple minutes past the hour. I'm going to give about three more minutes for folks to finish convening, and then we'll get started.
Well, hello, Ben. I'm really glad you sent out that last-minute reminder, because I was just sitting here in a daze working on other things and forgot about it.
Yeah, I think that's not uncommon for a lot of folks. Last-minute reminders can be important.
You're just too busy, Bob. You get too much going on.
That's true. There's a lot of balls in the air.
Getting ready for your Internet 2 presentation, right?
That, as a matter of fact, that's what I was working on.
Old habits die hard.
You know how it is hurting vendors is like hurting cats.
This is true.
Hello, Ben?
Yes, this is Ben Feynman.
Ben, hey, this is Walt. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, Walt, we have about 10 people on video, and I think just you on the phone right now.
Okay.
But I think we could go ahead and get started.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone.
And I'd like to apologize for being late, Ben. I was looking for any kind of the invite that I had didn't have the contact info, so I was looking around desperately for the contact info.
Yeah, sorry about that. But we're glad you were able to join us. So as I mentioned on the list, Walt has graciously agreed to be the chair for this group, at least in our initial capacity. So Walt is the director of telecommunications at Texas A&M and also the director for the Texas A&M Internet 2 Technology Evaluation Center. And Walt is very knowledgeable in this particular field, and I think he will be able to lead us in the right direction. So, Walt, I'm happy to hand it over to you to get started.
Okay, Ben, what I'm going to be doing is we're actually driving across Texas again, which I think we'll be spending most of my life doing these days. If I do end up losing you, I will call right back, and if you don't mind continuing on with the meeting in my app.
Whatever you did, just mute it back in.
But if you wouldn't mind doing that in case I do drop you?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Okay, so who all do we have on the call?
Why don't we go around and do a roll call again, maybe start from west to east? So whoever's westmost can go ahead and start.
I'm not sure how far west this is, but I'll get started. This is Theo Economides. I'm here at the Texas A&M University, although I live in Chicago these days. I'm just down here renewing some old friendships.
Anyone else in the central time zone or western than that?
Sheila Sissel from Fermilab, which is in Batavia, Illinois, just west of Chicago.
Okay, I guess we'll go to eastern time zone then.
Pearson, North Carolina State University.
Welcome.
This is Bob Dixon at Ornet.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing again?
I'm at Penn State University.
Chris Guzman,
good afternoon.
Medical School.
Good afternoon. This is Ludwig Gentner from Virginia Tech.
This is Mike LaHaye from Internet 2.
And I'm Ben Feynman from Internet 2. Is there anybody that we didn't hear from?
One last person, Alyssa Zamarifa, Austin, Texas, CETN.
Welcome, everybody. I think that's everybody that's on the call.
Okay. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. And my understanding of the charter here is for this group to look at some ways of globally communicating or interconnecting ourselves in terms of dial plans and probably directory structures as well. And it sounds to me like it was initially designed to look primarily at the high-end video services, the telepresence services. But what I'm hoping we'll do here is maybe to kind of address a little bit more global plan that really involves not only the telepresence systems, but video, standard video conferencing, and even voice as well, because hopefully the future we're all aspiring to is that the point where media is media, and we really don't necessarily care what type of media it is we're connecting. Obviously, taking it that broad adds complication and complexity to it, but it seems like it would, it would kind of resolve an issue that has been ongoing for a while. Anybody kind of have any comments or questions about, or any comments or concerns about kind of taking a, little bit more global approach to that?
Yeah, your remarks were the first time that I heard that we had a focus on telepresence, you know, so I think it's much more general than that.
Good, good, good. Excellent. Okay, okay. And again, that may have been, that may have really been more of a misunderstanding on my behalf, Bob. So, but that's, you know, so the, I think from there, you know, obviously we've got to look at the solutions that are available to us in hand. And it seems, you know, obviously the primary issue that you start to run into when you're doing this is the same issue we had about 10 years ago within the VoIP working group when we were doing H323, and that's that you run into an end-by issue if you do individual peering. So, you know, and obviously the individual peering issue, the problem you really run into there is, you know, I connect to Bob and then I put his information in my system, he puts his system information in his system, and we're happy, and that's fine until we add a third person. Then when we add the third person, you know, we both have to populate the routes, et cetera, and so on and so on and so on. Now, obviously, the telephone companies have gotten around that years ago by incorporating SS7 into their network, but, you know, SS7 is not going to be a viable option for what we're doing because, really, it's strictly voice-centric, so that really doesn't buy us much. So that being the case, it seems like we've got three or four ways that we could look at doing that. One of them had been resolved earlier through some great work from Tyler Miller Johnson out of North Carolina in the GDS network. And the GDS network at the time was seemed like it was primarily designed to deal with the issues that you've got based on H323 and gatekeeper functionalities and stuff like that. So while it did good for what we were doing at the time, the problem with it is it didn't implement well into VoIP, and with things going from 323 to SIP, you know, again, we're kind of looking at a different parameter, a different situation now. So I think it's time to kind of reevaluate that again. You know, the two or three options that seem to come to mind easiest are, one of them is there are some companies out there that do arbitrage type services, and primarily the SIP service providers or the VoIP service providers primarily use them already right now. In essence, what happens is a lot of the VoIP service providers subscribe to it, and then when they subscribe to it, when you subscribe to it, what ends up happening is when you do a call request, it goes out and looks for that information, and once it figures out whether or not that information is available, it returns a URI of the appropriate site to connect to. You know, that's one solution. Another solution would be to just do straight peering. Again, probably not very viable. Third solution would be for Internet 2 and the community at large to stand kind of a central redirect proxy that would take any calls coming in. Everybody would point their calls to a single redirect proxy. Anything coming in would end up being sent out to the appropriate device. And then I think a solution that was brought up more recently by Cisco was the possibility of incorporating IMS or the IP multimedia subsystem. But realistically, IMS is really layered on top of, its other services layered on top of SIP redirects. So SIP is kind of at the core, but it does other things such as location services, et cetera. And IMS is basically the direction the wireless companies are going with 4G. So, you know, that would be yet another option. So what I think what we would probably need to do with this group would be to look at, and of course, ENUM is another solution as well, and ENUM has been used very extensively in Europe. In fact, that's pretty much the way the majority of the rest of the world is going. So it seems to me like we've got a number of solutions, and the challenge is trying to figure out what is the best fit for everything involved.
So I think that's a pretty good summary. Does anyone else on the call want to add anything to that list that wasn't mentioned?
Yeah, I think Simon posted a note this morning or so to the group that seemed kind of attractive to me, that it had a lot of generality in it.
And I'm sorry, Bob, I didn't see that. I've been on the road all day today. Can you provide a summary of what that option entails?
I have to find it in my email again.
Okay.
So I have it. Simon is one of the developers for GNUGK, and he says that the Gatekeeper currently supports a wide range of routing opportunities for the group to explore. More importantly, you can set up differential routing based on the type of number dialed or the prefix used. You can also cascade a routing policy so you can chain together a number of routing options. And he gives an example, and he says the above example can route GDS, enum, SRV, DNS, and IP address simultaneously. The dialed digits 00 go to GDS, then each type of number can be assigned to a different routing option. You can chain together options so that you can have an enum number and an SRV address at the same time, and you can be reached on both. The enum record points to an SRV record and points to a DNS.
Okay. So it sounds like with the enum solution in there, it is at least taking into account. The SIP side of it as well. But I mean, my understanding basically of gatekeepers is they really are more H323 concentric than they are SIP. So I think we would really want to basically seriously look at the pros and cons of that type of solution, and what might not be a bad idea for one of the next meetings would be to maybe have Simon on to give us a more, you know, in-depth dig as to, you know, exactly how it would work, so we could kind of, you know, pose various questions to say, if we did this, what would happen? If we did that, what would happen?
Here at Penn State, we've actually been looking at GNU-GK ourselves, and hopefully it has enough flexibility to do that kind of thing. We want to be able to bridge it into our SIP core and our other lookup services that are external to the gatekeeper functions, but allow it to communicate with the HV23 endpoint in a way that it understands, so we don't have to write that part ourselves.
So does it basically
in the commons and here at Ohio State University, they were using the GNU gatekeeper for such reasons.
So then they're also talking about cascading. So, I mean, it seems to me like the cascading aspect of it. So it's still using the concept of gatekeeper domains to provide basically, you know, control domains over the various systems. Is that correct?
I think you need to ask Simon those questions.
Okay.
My understanding is it does have the traditional HG23 neighbor and zone type functionalities in it. Obviously, we would try to or want to exploit the domain name system as a better zoning environment, so that the quote unquote gatekeepers would use DNS type zone lookup versus HG23 zone lookup.
And you know too, I mean, quite frankly, if it's got serious 323 components in it, which, you know, basically, again, gatekeepers were primarily designed to deal with 323 networks, you know, at least it's my personal guess that even in the video world, the 323 is going to be going away probably sooner rather than later. You know, since SIP pretty much has been winning out the battles of everything else, and the only thing we're really using it for right now is video conferencing. And since the video conferencing companies all have agreed to support SIP as well, you know, it seems kind of questionable as to whether or not we'll have one signaling protocol for video conferencing and everything else in the world using SIP. That doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Again, that's the personal beliefs of Walt Magnuson, and I am also there's a lot of people that disagree with me on that. Let's put it this way.
Also, how about people on the call that might have opinions? Anybody have opinions they want to share about that?
Well, I guess I would just say that, you know, I don't see SIP appearing in video conferencing any place that I deal with. You know, maybe it is in places that I don't deal with. And there's a huge installed base using HT23, and anything we do certainly has to be downward and upward compatible with everything else, otherwise nobody will use it.
I got to agree with Bob right now that the HG23, especially in the room system space, There's a few vendors looking at SIP heavily, but the functionality is not equivalent yet. So it's definitely coming, but the 323 is going to be around for quite a while yet, I think, at least in the space of the room system types hardware.
Is there really actually any difference in the capabilities? I'm 99.9% sure the Tanbergs and the Polycoms all support both 323 and SIP. And is there really any actually functionality difference between the 323 and the SIP signaling systems when it comes to the room systems? I'm just asking that question because it basically ought to be correct.
I don't think the data sharing stuff is well developed yet in the SIP side of the house. There's a couple standards for doing that, but I don't think they're widely deployed yet in the SIP stacks of the vendors. So it's coming, but that's one area I know that doesn't do quite as well on the SIP side of the house.
Okay, but is the data sharing, I mean, most of that isn't even really a function of T323, is it? I thought most of that is more of a function of T120 and other protocols that parallel 323 or SIP, but aren't really necessarily a part of the 323 stack.
Yeah, the SIP stack is using something called binary floor control protocol. I forget what the equivalent is in the 323 stack, but I know that protocol in particular, I don't think Polycom has implemented it yet. I think Tanberg does have a first release of it running.
Got it.
So it's all the control and the channel control for the data versus the video.
So it sounds to me like what might be kind of the best approach would be to start off with kind of a functional list of what all features we want to support across the various platforms. Again, assuming that we want to get to the world that we don't really care what the platform is. We ultimately want everything to be able to intercommunicate with everything. That being the case, what we might want to do would be to maybe start down with kind of a list of functionality of saying, you know, if I've got an H323 room system that I want to have somebody be able to dial into, that I want to have somebody be able to do, connectivity at least a basic level to a telepresence system, what type of functionality, assuming that everything is either forward and backward compatible. Yeah, that would be one of the first questions, to say what all will work together. But then from there, how do we deal with a common numbering plan that would work across the board?
That makes sense to me. I mean, at the end of the day, I would say my goal is to make sure that we can come up with a single dialing plan that could be presented to the community to let people adopt that dial plan and use it independently of whether they're on a 323 or a SIP system of any kind, and do the magic behind the scenes to make sure we've got reachability. I agree with folks that people are going to be using 323 for a long time. Even if SIP is available in the endpoints we've got today, there isn't a community there that I'm going to reach out to, at least immediately. And the idea
right.
of Flag Day to move everybody to SIP, I think is probably unrealistic.
Right. I agree. But the point I was trying to make is that if there are components of the plan that we use that are heavily 323 concentric, then I think we're kind of limiting ourselves to a solution that if things do migrate over, we just want to make sure that the only thing on the network that is still 323 is not our central dialing system.
Completely agree.
Okay. Very good. That sounds great. So, you know, and again, the issue we've had all along, basically, with any of these interconnect plans, any of these dial plans, ended up really kind of focusing around the fact that anything you do that is proprietary, number one, has issues with interfacing with legacy equipment. And then, you know, number two, basically, the other problem you've got with that is that it
doesn't scale as well. So all you have to do one closed network, you try to connect to another closed network, and then you got to deal with dial plan conflict. So what you really want to try to do is make sure that whatever you're doing has got some global aspect to it where, and if you're looking at global systems, names we basically have out there obviously really are, you know, IP addresses and E164 addresses. So you've got, and obviously with certain IP addresses, you got the whole DNS structure behind it. So you're really looking at URIs. So that being the case, and then I know there was GDS, there was a lot of push to not do E164 for fear of the fact that the telephone companies control the number. You know, realistically, I'm not sure. I mean, that needs to be a consideration, but I don't think that should be the overwhelming consideration. So one scenario could be to say, all right, what we're going to do is come up with an addressing plan that uses DNS, in essence, as long as I've got somebody's URI, I can connect to it, and then we have, in essence, a central repository that has both that information, or, again, uses DNS, which is really, in essence, what you're doing with enum, or the other possible solution would be to assign E164 numbers to it. In other words, on my telephone dial plan for campus, I take vacant number blocks that I'm not using currently for telephones and then assign them to video units. And then, in essence, what you really do then is put together systems that map the E164 numbers to E164 numbers to basically URIs, or get it converted back to IP addresses. Looking at those two approaches, what's everyone's feel on which would be more desirable there? Hello, is anybody still there?
Yeah, we're still here. Nobody's answering.
Okay, I thought I got disconnected. I'm sorry. I mean, the first comment I made was that it would seem that using a system that is globally administered, which is either against telephone numbers or IP addresses, would be the thing that would end up making the most sense. What's the feeling on that? Let's kind of start at that point.
I mean, our philosophy at Penn State is, you know, we're internet-centric, and we view phone numbers as something that has to be used by devices that are on the legacy telephone system to get to the IP system. So internally, when we're using IP-to-IP communications, we don't want to use anything that looks like a telephone number.
You use URI, correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, we already have a system of uniqueness, like you mentioned, Walt, it's IP addresses and DNS. So we want to use that system internally, and then, you know, to bridge into the legacy phone network, you have to use the identifiers of that system. But we don't want that to be integral to the IP network.
Right, and I agree. I mean, obviously, the two ways you do that are, one of them you use the either the IP address or the URI behind it to end to end. But again, what I was really kind of hoping here is we would have a solution ultimately that could support us both voice and video wise. So, I mean, the problem there again is that with either a VoIP phone or with a SIP phone or with a PSTN phone, dialing a URI is somewhere between painful and impossible. If we assume that the only thing on the network is going to be strictly computing devices, that makes it a lot easier. I mean, that might be an assumption we might want to make. We could say we're not going to support anything in the legacy networks. That as long as we kind of look at the pros and cons of that's a viable assumption if the group decides that that's kind of the way they like to go. So what's the thought process there?
Well, I'll admit, Walt, that for me personally, I'm still struggling with the opportunities that are available to try and provide a dial plan that unifies all of these systems.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the decisions we would have to make that could be limiting, you know, and force some kind of a significant migration. And so for me personally, I'm still at the learning stage of all of this. I think others may be in the same boat.
Okay.
Guys, the reason it's
why don't I maybe present? Why don't I maybe propose this? Why don't we maybe see if? And Ben, you're going to do probably one of these meetings like every other week for a while, I guess, is kind of the plan.
Yes, the plan is to have this meeting every other week at this time slot.
Okay. Why don't I maybe propose this as a solution? Because I think really all of us are the same as, you know, was just mentioned, really in the learning curve on this. Why don't I kind of work with Ben on kind of drafting out what some of the options are, and then why don't we maybe have, over the next two or three or four meetings, have someone that we would identify as, you know, somebody very knowledgeable in that technology come in, and, you know, maybe we can get one of the folks from the Czech Republic network that's already doing Enum and stuff like that, give us a talk about Enum and, you know, come up with kind of a potential scenario of what it would look like if we used each of those solutions. And then again, what we're doing then is talking to somebody that's already been there, done it, and see if we can, you know, then, like I said, then maybe see if we can get this group to come up with a, with a way of best way of doing. And again, like I said earlier, I believe that from what Ben was telling me that Cisco kind of recommended an IMS solution. So one of those meetings, we would really want to have Cisco in there to kind of say, all right, this is what it would look like and this is what it would do.
Yeah, I think somebody else was trying to say something that got cut off there, but I just want to also mention that in our last meeting, someone here knowledgeable about Enum was saying, I guess that the industry in this country had decided not to do that or not implement it, and therefore made it essentially impossible to do here.
To do what, Enum?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they were saying.
I mean, that would be based. I mean, what was the rationale on that? I mean, what was kind of the mindset that would say it would be impossible? Because I mean, all it really takes is for you to add the SRV records in your DNS, and you're there. So, I mean, I'm not really sure.
I want to say the sentiment was maybe that the carriers somehow tried to sabotage it because it wasn't in their best interest.
Oh, yeah, but that's never slowed us down before. That's why we have internet, too.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, because in essence, really, I mean, if you look at Enum, it's basically E164 numbers parsed backwards. So, I mean, it's still, I mean, it's actually pretty straightforward to take Enum and convert that into an E164 number. And obviously, they could never say they won't support E164.
Right.
So
I mean,
kind of
what it is basically is E164. I'm sorry, what's that?
Is somebody else on video trying to say something?
I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Nope, guess not. Go ahead, Walt.
Okay. I mean, kind of seems to me like what Enum basically is E164 numbers without having an underlying SS7 network backing it.
So, Walt, I think that you're planning to make a list of the available options and then have a speaker focused on each option is a good one. Maybe for today we could try to come up with that list.
That sounds good. I mean, I think we, you know, I'd kind of run down through the three or four that I could think of. Does kind of anybody else, does anybody else have any other, well, it sounds like obviously Simon's solution is yet another one that above what I had listed. So I think we've got, you know, we've got Enum, we've got Arbitrage, we've got just using straight E164 numbers, we've got GDS. And then we've got the solution that Simon recommended.
Well, I think that question actually ought to be posed into the list and let everybody, including the people that aren't here today, have some input on that.
Exactly, yeah. Because, yes, because there could very well be, oh, I'm sorry, and IMS too, I'm sorry. IMS is yet another one.
Yeah, and I think we need to explain what each one means, because I know I am not familiar even with what some of the terminology means for those various systems, and I expect that's true of any of us.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to do in each one of these sessions is to, you know, rather than just throw out some three-letter acronyms to, in essence, say, you know, this is what the architecture looks like. These are the components. And if we did it, these are the components you would use for video. And if you placed a call from University A to University B, this is how the call setup would look. This is what you would dial, and this is what the call setup would look like. So, yeah, I mean, well, obviously we'd be digging a lot, you know, digging down a lot deeper than we really basically are today.
And I think that's a good idea, because speaking for myself, I'm not familiar with each one of these either, so that would be helpful.
And unfortunately, you know, even though I've been working in the space, in the VoIP space for quite a while, I also am only capable of digging down deep enough to do a PowerPoint, do PowerPoint engineering on some of them as well. So, you know, and that obviously, before we decided on something, we'd have to dig a lot deeper than that.
Yep, so that sounds good. So currently we on the list we have Enum, Arbitrage, E164, GDS, Simon's idea, which I need to parse again, and IMS. Is there anything that people on the call want to add, but I'll also post the questions to the mailing list? I guess we can consider that comprehensive for the moment.
Okay. And again, I'd really want on the IMS part, we're doing a fairly decent amount of work on that one. But again, like I said, I believe that, again, there's even a Cisco version of it as well that may not be straight 3G. 3GPP is the group standard body that created IMS. I believe that there may be some proprietary implementations of IMS as well. So, you know, again, like I said, that may end up forking off into two. But until we really kind of get a chance to talk to Cisco about that, it'd be I kind of would want to really hold back on that. I mean, again, the only real difference between IMS and currently what we have with SIP is SIP really just basically does straight SIP redirects and stuff like that. It assumes that your proxies at the end are doing all the work. What IMS does is it does a lot of the internal call routing, and there's one of the proxies that fire, I believe it's a CFPI, actually understands what device is where and what its capabilities are. So it would be the box that would look at it and say, all right, I understand this one is H323. I understand this one is SIP. How do I, you know, and then at that point, it provides some of the signaling information to either send out a 323 call or to go ahead and do a SIP invite. And so it's the device. Again, it's obviously all based on the understanding that ultimately what you're really doing is to, you know, is your encoding obviously also has to be the same. But from a signaling side, and that's all really the thing really does is the call setup. What it's really doing is just saying, where are the devices, what are they, and how do you get to them? That's kind of what the telephone companies are going to be doing with cellular to be able to do fixed mobile convergence to where if I've got IP on campus, I've got VoIP on campus, and I've got my cell network. They use the concept of a home network and a visiting network to understand where the resources are on each side. And then provides that interconnectivity. Make sense?
Yeah, at least as a starting point. So I think what I'm going to do logistically is, as I mentioned on the list, I set up a wiki for this group. So I'll start a list of these different options on the wiki, and if people want to add to the wiki, they can do that. If they want to email me and have me add it to the wiki, I can do that. We can also use the wiki as a place to start kind of collecting explanations for each of the options. But I do like Walt's idea of having a topical expert come in and talk to us about them on a call, too.
And Ben, I really need your help on trying to find those topical experts, too, because obviously you guys have got some access to some resources that I don't have as well. So that, and anybody, though, I mean, anybody out there, really, that's probably what we want to do also on the wiki is post a query to everybody and say, you know, if you've got a person that is really clueful in this space, you know, please provide us an invite or an electronic introduction.
Yes, that sounds good. I guess the only other thing I would ask is if people have a preference on what order we do things, although that might be dictated on how and when I can find topical experts. But does it make sense to do something first out of these things we have in the list?
I would kind of recommend that we do... I would kind of recommend that we do the IMS parts of it last because it builds on a lot of the other architectures, and if we start with it, a lot of whoever explains it's going to have to explain a lot more. Whereas if the other ones have already happened, the IMS explanation becomes a little bit easier.
Okay, that makes sense.
And a question for you, Ben, about the meeting in 2 weeks. I mean, it's our spring break, but actually I'm working on a MIFTA project, so I'll be working that week anyway. Are other universities going to have spring break issues in 2 weeks, or is that how much does that vary around the country?
Well, so I know the University of Michigan is on break this week. I don't know about others.
Okay.
Well, it makes no difference for us. We're here anyway.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I didn't even know U of M was on break, and I'm I'm here.
Yeah. Isn't that the way it always works out?
Oh,
the way you can tell it's just a little bit easier to park in the morning, right? Sorry, what's that?
No, I was just saying that the med school is year-round anyway, so we have very little sort of break, not break kind of differentiation. And what were you saying, Walt?
I said, yeah, the only way you can tell there's a break going on is it's a little bit easier to park in the morning, right?
I should have known.
All right, that sounds good. I think that's basically all I really kind of have for today, unless, Ben, is there anything else we needed to go over logistically?
I want to mention that we do have a spot confirmed for a face-to-face at the Internet 2 Spring member meeting. I'm not positive on the time slot, but I think it's going to be over lunch on Tuesday. So if folks are going to be at the spring member meeting, then we'll have the opportunity to meet face-to-face. I am planning to set up a phone bridge for that meeting. I don't think we're going to be able to have a video bridge. But so if people aren't going to be there, hopefully they can call in by phone. And regarding the wiki, I mentioned this on the mailing list, but if you want to edit the wiki, you just need to have an identity with one of our federated identity management services. The one that we use most commonly is InCommon, but it doesn't have to be InCommon. There's some other federations that we support. But as long as you have an identity, once you log in, you should be able to edit the wiki because I've just set it open to anybody who's authenticated. And if your organization isn't a member of any federated network, you can get an identity from Protect Network is an organization that offers free identity.
Ben, that 12 to 1 Tuesday is the collaboration tools first laboratory.
Yes, and I am aware of that. I think we're going to end up with a inevitable conflict since the side meeting slots are generally over lunch. But I will talk with our scheduling folks and see if there's anything they can do for us.
Ben, did you want me to bring our one of my Polycom voice speaker phones up there that we could use for that conference bridge, or do you have something, or for that phone call, or do you have something lined up?
We'll have something lined up.
Okay.
Thank you for that offer.
Sure.
Does anybody have anything else they want to go over in the last few minutes? All right, I think we'll give people a few minutes of their day back. I will be posting the minutes and at least the audio recording of this meeting to the wiki for people who weren't able to make it. And the action items moving forward will be for the list to come up, or the mailing list to come up with a list of possibilities for us to discuss, and then find topical experts for each one. So that sounds like a plan.
That sounds perfect.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Sounds like we've got a real good group here. We're looking forward to working with everybody.
Likewise.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Walt.
My pleasure. Thanks.
See you later.
All right. Thanks, guys.